Theresa May once again is struggling to keep Brexit on the road after the resignation of David Davis and two of his senior ministers. The Brexit Secretary's departure comes shortly after the Prime Minister announced her cabinet was in agreement over her plans for customs arrangements. It throws the Department for Exiting the EU into disarray just days before they must produce a white paper, a key policy document setting out the UK's negotiating position. It's one that is much awaited in Brussels, with only 8 months of talks left. But what will it and what should it actually contain? Well, the think tank The UK in a Changing Europe has produced a report on just that topic. One of the authors, Matt Bevington, is with me now. Matt, very good morning to you. Is actually going on at the moment? We've seen high-level resignations. I mean, is this the end of the department for exiting the European Union?
Well, we don't really know at this stage. I mean, things seem to be going reasonably well for the Prime Minister on Friday. She didn't have any resignations at their meeting where they discussed the UK's future relationship with the EU and what the government's new approach would be. But now it seems David Davis couldn't support the new position and two of his ministers couldn't either. To be fair to David Davis, the Prime Minister has been saying in her last three speeches that the UK was leaving the single market, leaving the customs union, free movement of immigration from the EU was going to end and the UK was going to stop paying into the EU budget. Those are the red lines of the government. One of those red lines has now shifted, which is that the UK will stay in the single market for goods. So David Davis said that he can't support this position anymore. So essentially, now the Prime Minister has to decide whether she wants to keep DEXU as it is. It's kind of a centre for organising Brexit within government, or whether to pass those responsibilities on to other departments.
And does this actually change anything about the agreement that was reached on Friday?
Essentially not. The Prime Minister said on Friday that she is not going to put up with any more dissent from her ministers publicly, and that if they can't sign up to the government's position, then they need to leave. And that's what's happened. David Davis has resigned.
Now, one of the problems, we'll get onto the white paper in just a moment, but one of the problems with that agreement on Friday, regardless of whether the Conservative Party has agreed on it, is whether the EU will actually agree on it. It feels as though this will be, this is not anything really different from those agreements that have been dismissed by the EU in the past. Aren't they going to simply say that this is cherry picking? Hasn't David Davis just resigned over nothing?
I think the EU will reject this eventually. I think they're keen not to dismiss it out of hand because they can see that the UK is at least offering some concessions and moving its position to something a bit more realistic. So they won't just come out and say this is unacceptable, we're not going to talk about it. They'll consider it, I think, and try and be sympathetic, but ultimately say this is still cherry picking for goods. I think David Davis can see the trajectory of government policy towards something a bit softer than he's been willing to support, and that's why he's left. It's not necessarily that this is the end position of the government, this is the start of the real negotiating position, and that's why he's so worried, I think.
Well, with that in mind then, I mean, only months to go before the end of those negotiations, the white paper, the policy document, well, I mean, the second white paper that we have seen over Brexit is coming out this week. Mm-hmm. Now, This is going to be hugely awaited in Brussels to see what the UK is actually going to put forward. What are you and your think tank actually saying should be in there?
Well, when our role is not really to say to the government you should pursue X, Y, or Z policy. What we're saying is these are the minimums you need to address in this white paper for it to be meaningful and for it to move the negotiations on. So, for example, one of the things we say is that on customs, the UK needs to provide a solution that is detailed and realistic. Now, we've got something that's detailed, certainly more detailed than what they've had before, but whether it's realistic or not, I guess it's still open to question. We'll have to see the full detail in the white paper itself. But essentially what we want to see is that the government acknowledges the outcomes of the red lines that it set. So Theresa May said that she wants to end free movement. Well, that probably means that we also have to leave the single market in its entirety as well. So their proposal on goods is unlikely to be accepted for that reason. So we want to see not necessarily that the government takes any certain position, but the position it does take, it acknowledges the likely outcomes of that.
And how realistic is this? I mean, by the end of the week, are you expecting that we'll be in this position?
that will have the white paper, or that we the EU will
a white paper
it?
That is actually realistic, detailed, and you know actually gives us some kind of clarity.
Well, I mean, certainly there'll be more detail. It's encouraging that we're actually getting a white paper when we are. But there are still indications that the government wants to cherry pick. It's not willing to accept the full outcome of the red lines that it set for itself. So, I mean, we do have to await the detail, of course, but we're essentially hoping that the government can produce enough detail that it can alleviate a lot of the uncertainty that business is now saying it's struggling with, and try and move the negotiations on. We are less than 6 months away from where we need to wrap the initial stage of the talks up. So there is not much time left, certainly.
It does feel as though the major players within these negotiations are perhaps incapable of making the concessions and the compromises that are necessary to come to some kind of agreement, both on the EU side and also on the UK negotiating side, and even those factions within the Conservative Party itself. It feels in many ways as though we're actually moving towards, either a no-deal Brexit, that cliff edge, or some kind of interminable transition period Brexit in name only, if you want to call it that. I mean, do you actually see an agreement to be reached at the end of these, given where the various parties have their red lines?
I think we're definitely closer to no deal than we were probably 3 months ago. The problem with these negotiations compared to others is that the default outcome, if we don't reach an agreement, is that there will be no deal, because the Article 50 period set out a 2-year period at the end of which the UK will not be an EU member anymore. So unless we reach a deal, we will just leave on with nothing agreed. So that's the biggest danger with the talks. But I mean, you have to think this is the kind of thing that's that we keep telling ourselves. The costs of leaving with no deal are so high that we have to think that both sides will eventually come to a compromise. I mean, we'll see. The key date for the government will probably be the Conservative Party conference in October. Theresa May will obviously have a big speech there. That will be probably when the UK moves to its final position. I don't expect that this position agreed at the weekend will be the final move, especially because I don't think the EU will accept it. So the government will probably have to either move again or accept a much inferior outcome to the one that it's been selling so far.
But fundamentally, you do think that if it is a case of warding off a no-deal Brexit, it will be the government that will have to move and not the European Union?
Well, yes. The problem is the government's red lines implied that the deal that it could agree with the EU was a free trade agreement. The reason the government doesn't want to sign up for that only is because it thinks it will be economically damaging. And the other thing is that to avoid a hard border on the island of Ireland, the EU is insisting on its approach called the backstop, which would essentially keep Northern Ireland within the customs territory of the EU. And the government doesn't want to accept that either. So now it's trying to find a design for the future relationship that means that Northern Ireland remains on the same terms as the rest of the UK in terms of its relationship with the EU. But it's struggling to kind of square that circle. Its red lines imply that it wants a free trade agreement, but at the same time, the government doesn't want to acknowledge the economic implications of only having a free trade agreement and not something much deeper.
Matt Bevington from the think tank the UK in a Changing Europe in another febrile week for Brexit, although we seem to be having the same discussions over and over again.